You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
May the 29th, 2020. What happened last night in Minneapolis? Again showing an out-of-control situation. Clearly rioting at this point. Vandalism, arson. A police district headquarters, police precinct district headquarters, torched and burned. Police made no effort to defend it. For a period of time, they did surround the building, but the crowd continued to increase. A fence had been placed around the building, and the decision was made for police to pull out, not to try to fight, just abandon the station. When they did, everyone rushed in. I should say many rushed in and began vandalizing and setting fire. That is not all the residents of Minneapolis. Not all the residents. Not all the black residents. Not all the residents, period. All of this, of course, coming after video of a police officer, a Minneapolis police officer, holding down a man who had been stopped, apparently, on a case of fraud, possibly trying to pass a $20 check. And the officer had him on the ground with his knee into his neck. And the man is not resisting. At that point, he's handcuffed, hands behind his back. He is saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." Started calling for his mama, basically, 40-plus-year-old man at that point. And the officer was still not doing anything, not reconsidering. Minneapolis police, as many police departments, acknowledge you can use force on the neck if they are continually resisting. But at this point, there is no resistance. And other officers standing around watching it, doing nothing. And that is what started all of this. There's no justification for rioting. There is no justification, although you're going to hear over the next 2 hours some try to say, "Well, I understand, and it's okay." There is no justification. There is certainly no justification for how that officer did that based on what we've seen. However, have we seen everything? The county prosecutor says there's more evidence to suggest a different story. Now, I don't know if he's talking about the police body cams, which we haven't seen yet, or video from some other source. The Attorney General of Minnesota, says there will be charges coming, but doesn't explain which charges. Many are saying the officer has to be charged with murder at this point. That might end up being the proper charge, but we're not there yet. You cannot go to trial and make a decision based on simply the video we've seen. You can't do it. You can't do it when you see all the video. You still need to get witness testimony. The video is very compelling. But you need more than that. And yet I see many, many rushing to judgment already. Some that should know better. You don't rush to judgment on this. The officer involved, Derek Chauvin, has 18 previous complaints against him. 18. Were they justified? Maybe one or two. Did others pile on? I don't know. Again, that's a background we don't have at this point. But that certainly raises a big question for me. One of the other officers was also part of a 2017 excessive force lawsuit settled by the city of Minneapolis. So there's a lot of things behind the scene we don't know. We're going to spend most of the next 2 hours going through this and this story. But at the same time, I've got some other things online. One is going to be joined by Fred Flight, Center for Security Policy, about how Iran is beginning to look for a way to increase nuclear production, and we better keep a close eye on that. That is not happening at this moment in the sense that it's imminent they're going to have a nuclear weapon, but we've got to be aware of it. Fred Flights will get us in on that. And, of course, the coronavirus continues. We'll be visiting again by Tom Wellington, Wellington Environmental, on some of the more recent cases they've seen, how they're treating facilities. And then this, the World Health Organization issuing new guidance. Listen to this. If you are healthy, you shouldn't even bother wearing a mask. Don't wear a mask unless you are taking care of coronavirus patients or you are having a fever or you're unhealthy. In other words, they say, you don't need the mask. Well, that flies in the face of everything that's been shoved down our throat. Do you understand any of it? I'm as confused as you are. So we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. In fact, we're blowing out news and commentary in the second hour. Most of the focus on Minneapolis. Get your friends and neighbors ready. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That video is graphic and horrific and terrible, and no person should do that. But my job in the end is to prove that he violated a criminal statute. And there is other evidence that does not support a criminal charge.
That is, as I was saying in the opening monologue, a comment by the county attorney. That is the initial person taking charge of this case, involving a police officer holding down a black man and keeping his knee into the back of his neck while the man on the ground, George Floyd, said repeatedly, "I cannot breathe. I need water. My stomach hurts. I need water. I can't breathe." And the officer did nothing. Did nothing. In fact, was indifferent as far as looking toward the crowd. He knew he was being videotaped. He knew that. Now, was he watching for someone else to come forward and start trouble? I couldn't tell you what's inside that officer's mind. That is the same officer, Derek Chauvin, which now we learn has had 18 previous complaints against him. That does not mean he's guilty of anything if it's a complaint previously. Apparently there have been no formal disciplinary actions against him, that maybe a reprimand had appeared in one case. Both cases, or in two of them, were closed with discipline, indicating a letter reprimand, but that was it. And as I said, another officer had also faced a prior charge, which was later of excessive force. He was not the one holding George Floyd down, and that was settled by the city of Minneapolis and the plaintiff of the case for something like $25,000. But this incident the other day in the video, it is horrific looking, as the county attorney said. The attorney general of the state says, "I do expect charges to be filed," not saying exactly what or against whom at this point. The Minnesota governor has called in the National Guard, did that last night as looting broke out in Minneapolis and in St. Paul. And, of course, now we're moving into Friday night and the weekend. Early this morning, state police in body armor and riot gear showed up near that police precinct that was burned overnight. Protective helmets, face shields, carrying batons, just standing near the site littered with debris. They did spray mace last night at protesters who got too close, and today they're ready to do it again if needed. Last night, there were projectiles being thrown at the officers while they were trying to protect the 3rd Police Precinct. Then a decision was made, leave it. And stores have been burned and destroyed. No police effort trying to stop those, and no firemen in many cases, in part because the fire department got stretched pretty fast as to where it was needed, and the other point being, it was a dangerous situation. But let's begin to kind of break down some of this case, and I will remind you again, you cannot simply judge and make a final verdict based on the video you've seen. That's not the way we do justice in this country. It is horrific video. I don't like it. I think the officer used excessive force. Should not have been done. He should have at least began to give the guy a little chance to get his knee off the back of his neck for a period of time when he said, I can't breathe. Did he not learn anything from the Eric Garner case back in New York earlier this decade, or last decade, I should say? What is it? I'm trying to think. Earlier this year, about 10-plus years ago. Police training, did it not come into play? You can use force on a neck if the subject is resisting, but at this point, he's not resisting. You've got him under control. But as we watch the FBI say we want more evidence, and we've heard a statement, as I said a moment ago, from the attorney general, or rather the county attorney, there's more video. It doesn't necessarily document, support what you might assume by the video you've seen. The FBI says it wants to see more of that evidence as well. And here's where Don Lemon of CNN kind of went off the rails a little bit last night.
How much more video do they need? I kept saying, as I'm watching this, like, is this some sort of a joke? Like, how much more video do they need? Okay, great, get more evidence. But from the evidence they have, there appears to be no area on tape anywhere from any witness that Mr. Floyd was resisting arrest in any way. So I think what people want to know is these officers, one of them with 18 complaints against him, I think 16 of them still open, another one that has 6, other ones that have other complaints. I know that people complain and it's false sometimes, but 18 complaints. Are they going to be arrested or are they not?
Well, again, the attorney general of the state says there will be charges. And yes, they have not been arrested to this point, this moment. I know that's extremely upsetting. On one hand, I'm very upset. But then again, if they say they've got additional video evidence that may say this is not so quickly decided by what we saw the other day, you have to let it play out. You have to wait for justice to take its turn. What we have is too many people right now, they want to hang somebody for it. Just hang. I don't care if they're directly guilty or not. Hang them. And in fact, you're going to hear a little bit later that if you're white, you're complicit. You're complicit. You're complicit in the officer doing what he did. You're complicit in the looting. But as long as we're trying to focus on justice, Don Lemon, of course, is on CNN. You might expect a particular slant and take from that network. Fox News, you might expect similar, are opposing. But what I do not understand is reaction of one of the Fox analysts who's off and on, has been for a long time, Judge Jeanine Pirro. Judge Pirro has her own program, and she basically has the Fox News channel's Justice with Judge Jeanine. Republican, first female judge elected Westchester County, New York. Her politics and that fact have nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to say. But I do want to point out she's also served as a female, strike the word female. She's also served as a district attorney. She knows what the law is. She knows what you need to present a case and to actually prosecute as a district attorney. So when she makes these next remarks, I'm thinking, I think there goes your credibility as a judge. Just listen.
The facts are clear here. What you have is a police officer with a record of series of complaints over the 19 years that he's been a police officer who ended up snuffing the life out of an African-American over an alleged counterfeit $20 bill that he was using to buy food for his family. This police officer needs to be arrested and charged with murder under Minnesota law. I have looked at the penal law in Minnesota. He can be charged with murder.
Judge, did you forget the U.S. Constitution? Yes, if it's justified, he can be charged with murder or some degree of murder. But as a former prosecuting attorney, she does not know the facts. She's a Fox News analyst. But as a previous prosecuting attorney, she should know, I need all the facts before I make a decision. She can't make that decision based on what she's seen. But she said there are clear facts showing the officer needs to be charged with murder. I don't know what clear facts she's seen. Yes, the video certainly would suggest that. I understand that. But as a judge, someone who has previously served as a prosecutor, do you not think you want to see all the evidence? It may still come down to that conclusion. But this rush to judgment is one of the more frightening aspects of this entire event. It's tragic for George Floyd to have lost his life in the way it went down. I think the officer was out of line based on the footage we've seen. I think charges probably should be coming based on the footage we've seen. Is there other footage that gives some explanation? Put something in context we don't know. I don't know. Haven't seen it yet. County prosecutor suggesting there is. Another CNN contributor, Van Jones. And I mentioned a black man only because it has nothing to do with actually his opinion necessarily, but I just want you to know who he is. I've watched him numerous times. He can be very astute on some points, and other times I think he's just missing the boat. But here's where he's coming with his thought on what went down in Minneapolis. You, if you're white, you are to blame for both the officer's actions and those in the streets overnight.
If you are white and you are watching this, look in your own life. How are you choking off black dignity? Choking off black opportunity? Choking off black people from having an opportunity to thrive? Because it's not just that officer. This is a much deeper problem. How are all of us complicit in this?
I'm not going to accept complicity in what the officer did. And I'm not going to accept complicity for the rioting that took place. And nor should anyone else who has nothing to do with it. I understand what he's trying to say, but you don't make people complicit for that. I'm not complicit for slavery of the past. Had nothing to do with it. As far back as I know my relatives, they didn't. In fact, in most cases, the relatives I know that far back, they were also victims of slavery in the sense that they didn't have it great either. They were not black, obviously, not dragged in chains across from Africa and delivered here by other Africans and put into the fields as plantation slave workers, but they were pretty close to that. They were just that next step up, as many would say, the poor white. But, of course, being white was better than being black at that time. You can't take something of this incident, or certainly something as broad as slavery, and dump it on everyone today. White or black, period. You can't blame other black families for anything that takes place. You can't blame all black families for thugs that run through a neighborhood and shoot it up and terrorize it. When it comes to the looting that took place last night and the night before, burning down a police station, Don Lemon of CNN has this comment.
So I understand the anger of the people who are protesting, who are upset in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am not condoning their actions. I don't understand the actions.
I want to stop it right there. I understand, he says, but I don't condone it. But you know what he also doesn't do? He doesn't condemn it. He doesn't condemn it, which would be the next step. All right, again, let's pick up that interview with Don, or that statement from Don Lemon.
So I understand the anger of the people who are protesting, who are upset in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am not condoning their actions. I don't understand the actions, but I do understand their anger when you feel you have nothing else. When you don't have a platform like a Don Lemon or a Wolf Blitzer or Laura Coates or anyone to protest, then what do? You act out in the way that you act out. Those people are upset. They are sick of it. And I would imagine people around the country are sick of it as well.
I agree. But Don Lemon, again, as you say, you understand it and you don't condone it. You don't condemn it. You should be condemning it. Trump issued a tweet early this morning that caused a lot of backlash as well, particularly dealing with the rioting and the looting. We'll get into that in the next segment. And it's one of these tweets from him that many people say, see, this shows that this guy is racist and he's enjoying what's taking place. Stand by, please.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm reflecting on all of the killings of young black men in particular, but of course black women too, at the hands of the police and at the hands of, these white supremacists. And I'm thinking about the way that the president conducts himself. In a way, he's dog whistling. And I think that they're feeling that they can get away with this kind of treatment.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat, California, placing the blame for what's happened in Minneapolis, the actions of the police officers, at the feet of President Trump, saying he's to blame. He's been issuing a dog whistle, saying you can do this and get away with it. He has never done anything like it, nothing. It's going to be a false narrative of racism labeling without taking into account facts. That does no good right now. It does no good other than accelerate that kind of attitude. And, of course, that's prevailing on some of the liberal networks anyway. President Trump did issue a tweet early this morning, 12:53 a.m. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd. I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz. I told him the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. Well, immediately, many thought, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. You're trying to incite more violence. In fact, Twitter, again, since it's suddenly very concerned about what goes on its accounts and wants to correct them and fact-check them, they put up a notice on that particular tweet. This tweet violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. However, Twitter has determined it may be in the public's interest for the tweet to remain accessible. Learn more. And they want it there because they want to call it out, but they also want it there because it, again, they think can be used against Trump. And it has been used against Trump so far. And he, in turn, took it off just the tweet account, put it on the main page of the Washington, the White House tweet account. And again, many are saying he's basically giving police the right to shoot because of looting. That's not what is said there. But we do know that when you start seeing looting to that scale, yes, sometimes a shooting starts, sometimes justified, and again, sometimes it's not. We'll get into that in more detail in a moment as well, in just a few moments, in the next hour. This is traumatic. This is traumatic, and it hits people in different ways. Brooke Baldwin of CNN was doing an interview with a Minneapolis councilwoman and reached a point where she couldn't continue. Just listen.
There are so many emotions as I'm sitting here listening to you. I'm having my own. I'm surprised at my own emotions on TV with you, but I've just, as a white woman aware of my own privilege in this country, I am so angry. I can't even begin. Forgive me.
And then she began to tear up. There was a pause, and the other person started talking. Now, I'm not going to question if that's sincere or if it's crocodile tears or it's playing a little bit, kind of get involved in the emotion, show how either woke I am, how connected I am. I don't know. But that's what she did. You had to make the decision. We're going to take a break in the next segment on this issue and come back with one more, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Earlier on our Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, I've asked a question today. Are you to blame for the death of a Minnesota man? Are you responsible for the rioting that followed? That's at Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can go to that right now and add your comments. Some have already started commenting, and we'll have more on that and some of the reactions and more on the Minneapolis rioting and St. Paul rioting in a few moments. But I want to take some time here and deal with another subject that's pressing that might be overlooked. We're going to make sure it's not. And joining us, a guest I've had on numerous times before, glad to have him back on board, Fred Flights, President and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Welcome aboard, Fred.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Yeah, and I want to point out to the audience real quick, Fred had written in 2016 a book titled Obama Bomb, A Dangerous and Growing National Security Issue, Security Fraud, I should say, and dealing with, at that time, the Iran deal that we got shoved down our throat by the Obama administration. Now, let's pick that part up, because in that decision, there were sanctions waivered and so forth for some of the actions. The other day, Secretary of State Pompeo said, we're ending all sanctions waiver effective in 60 days because Iran's continued nuclear escalation makes clear this cooperation must end. Your turn, sir.
That's exactly right. I mean, this was a terrible nuclear deal, allowed Iran to continue nuclear weapons-related activities such as enriching uranium and operating a heavy water reactor, and had very weak verification. We know the Iranians were cheating on it. Israel made this clear in 2018 when it revealed it had stolen a huge archive of secret Iranian documents showing how many weapons they were planning on making. But, you know, what's strange about this, and people don't realize, is that after the president backed out of the deal, we allowed waivers for foreign countries to work on parts of the Iranian program that supposedly were peaceful, including a nuclear reactor in Iran, a small research reactor, and something called Fordo, which Iran was operating but not with uranium. These concessions didn't make any sense because all these activities could be used by Iran to develop nuclear weapons. And I think it was long past due that the administration made this decision, just to say the entire Iranian nuclear program is not peaceful.
Why do you think we ever allowed for the sanctions waivers to continue for a period?
Well, you know, it's hard to get the whole government to go along with the president sometimes. And there were holdouts
in
the State
right.
Department
go ahead.
And the Defense Department and the intelligence community. They fought like crazy to stop the president from backing out of the nuclear deal. And I think some of these elements won some concessions, saying, okay, well, we'll deal with those minor programs later. We'll issue these waivers. I didn't agree with that at the time, and I'm glad the Secretary Pompeo has basically said, you know, let's stop playing games here.
The U.N. Security Council has been arguing, of course, from the beginning that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the one got shoved down our throat, was necessary to ensure nuclear nonproliferation in Iran, stabilize the region as a whole. I've said all along it was maybe buying some time, but they're still doing what they want. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, let's think about that. You know, there's been a surge in Iranian violence over the last year, which is being blamed on President Trump. The problem is that Iran has never ended its violence and provocations. It actually increased after the nuclear deal was announced in mid-2015 when Iran sent troops into Syria. It got worse over the last year because the Iranians are desperate. But let me tell you some good news. Israel announced last month that Iran is starting to pull its troops out of Syria. The reason is it doesn't have the money to pay them. And why is that? Because of President Trump's sanctions. I think that's a big win.
So now taking away any waivers for any sanctions, this means effectively at the end of 60 days, any country doing any business with Iran is a violation. And what do we do?
It is. And it sort of ends a loophole where nations could cooperate with Iran on supposedly peaceful activities that Iran could easily use to make nuclear weapons. And I think it's an important loophole to fill. And, you know, there are companies that don't want to cross the United States in issues like this because their business with us far dwarfs whatever business they have with the Iranians. And the Iranians are a terrible business partner. They don't pay their bills. They're corrupt. So if you're a company that sells nuclear technology, it's much better to do business in the U.S.
Well, speaking about, of course, what's been allowed up to this point, and there's a recent interruption of it. It's not just countries, I should say, doing stuff with Iran coming to help them, but also what Iran can get from other countries, such as money. And we had apparently two fuel loads from Iran being transported to Venezuela that we put a stop to.
I didn't know we put a stop to it. I hope that's true. But, you know, birds of a feather stick together. America's enemies have worked with each other for a long time. And what that shipment was a shipment of gasoline. As rich as Venezuela is, and despite the fact they have, you know, maybe the largest reserve of oil on Earth, they don't have operating gasoline refineries. So they had to import gasoline from Iran, which I understand that the Venezuelan government paid for with gold, and all this has been denied by the parties involved, but I think it's probably true. I didn't know that shipment had been interrupted.
Yeah,
I hope it has been.
Yeah, the latest I've got indicates that we were increasing their pressure. They were registered with the Liberian government. We warned them of sanctions, and the Liberian government revoked the ship's accreditation. There were two Greek firms that apparently owned it. They got threatened with U.S. sanctions, illegal action, and last report, they've turned around, abandoned course, and I'm not sure exactly where they were. I wonder if Iran got paid before the shipment was delivered, or it's contingent on we get payment first or part payment, because apparently Venezuela is not going to get that shipment, period.
Well, first of all, Larry, you see that better sources than I do.
No. I just you've got a lot on your plate, and so do I with the stuff in Minneapolis. I actually, Fred, this is It's not a source. I want to make it clear. It's not that I've got
no,
somebody.
No, I think you're right.
This quoted out of the Wall Street Journal. So it's not somebody I can claim I know inside. I don't. But go ahead.
Well, this is how we go after these shipments. We find who owns the tanker, and we threaten the flagging country in it. And that's how Iran does these shipments without being sanctioned, because since the ship isn't Iranian flagged, they can sometimes send the ship through, and it's difficult to stop it legally. So this is a big win for us if that's how we stopped it.
Yeah, and again, folks, it's not a secret source I've got in the State Department. That's a piece I found on the Wall Street Journal. Believe me, I don't have anywhere near the sources Fred Flights does. He just hasn't had time to see the Wall Street Journal lately. So here's another issue. Iran, obviously, I think most of us agree and believe anyway, that they continue to do their manufacturing of and preparing for a weapon anyway. I mean, they made threats not too long ago that if we continue to put sanctions on them, we're going to go and escalate. What gives anyone the idea that they actually stopped anything to do with nuclear projects? And I don't mean just to take their country of rocks and turn it into a metropolitan enterprise. They don't have any interest in that.
Well, I think they've stepped up their efforts towards a nuclear weapon. That was going to happen anyway. They were cheating on the nuclear commitments despite the agreement. But there is some good news. We were learning last month, not only was Iran pulling its troops out of Syria, it has de-escalated confrontations with the United States and its allies. And the reason is, Iran is afraid of getting into a war with the United States. And I think this stems from the killing of a Quds commander, Soleimani, that the president ordered with the drone strike in January. That just stunned the Iranians. And when Iranian ships started harassing U.S. ships in April, President Trump said, we're going to sink them out of the water. And I think the Iranians are worried that these provocations, which they wanted to stay below the level of starting a war, could easily start a war because President Trump isn't going to tolerate them.
You know, that reminds me, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a couple of years ago put on a big demonstration showing they could destroy a U.S. aircraft carrier. Of course, the one they were attacking was built out of wood, not firing back at them, just sitting there in the water, and they circled it, and they sunk it, said, see, we could destroy a U.S. aircraft carrier. I guess they think if they come at us, we're not going to shoot at them.
I think there was an assumption that they could blackmail us and the Europeans into backing them on the nuclear deal, and they're also doing these attacks to distract from the disastrous economic situation and the problems in the country with coronavirus. But if one of these attacks led the president to wipe out their oil facilities, which almost happened after Iran fired those missiles at U.S. bases early this year, the president decided not to respond. But I think the Iranian leadership knows very well if they push the president too hard, he's going to respond. And he's already said he will respond disproportionately if American citizens in Iraq are killed. And I think Iran's leaders believe that.
Good, good. I want them to believe it and maybe keep them in check. Fred Flights, again, I appreciate you taking time to join us, sir.
Great to be here. Thank you.
We'll do it again. Fred Flights, President and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. And again, the book he wrote in 2016 was titled Obama Bomb, A Dangerous and Growing National Security Fraud. Talk about how that plan was not going to do anything to protect us, and yet Obama administration insisted as part of his legacy, I've stopped Iran from developing nuclear weapons. No, he hadn't. Fred also has out a book that came out in 2018, The Coming North Korean Nuclear Threat. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to pick up on some additional points, what's happening in Minneapolis, the officers being charged or not charged, and again at Larry Connors USA Facebook, you can add your comments. I'll try to read them on the air when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you. you, boy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see that this is perfect?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Minnesota governor is preparing to hold a press conference. Might actually be underway at this point. We'll try to monitor that information for you. One thing that's happened in the midst of this, of course, is I agree that the video of the officer putting his knee into the back of the man on the ground, George Floyd, is horrific. And especially as the man continues to say, I can't breathe, and nothing was done. I'm opposed to the way that went down. But again, a rush to judgment simply based on that is not the way we do justice in this country. I did ask on my Facebook earlier today, are you to blame for the death of that Minnesota man? Are you responsible for the rioting? Let me share one comment I've got at Larry Connors USA from David. No, neither is death nor rioting. I've always backed the blue until now. These four officers need to be prosecuted for murder. The victim asked for help by saying he couldn't breathe. At that moment, the police should have immediately gotten off of him, called for an ambulance, but instead waited until his body was lifeless before calling an ambulance. David, you're pretty correct about that as to the way it went down. Your statement they should be prosecuted for murder, they may well be, one form of a murder or another, and we do need a full investigation. And I do agree that the officer, while he is using proper restraint, if the man is resisting, this man's not resisting. There's a fallout from this to some extent, by the way, involving Joe Biden. One of the women on his short list for vice president, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, she was a district attorney at the time this same police officer, Derek Chauvin, shot and killed a black man in 2006. And according to the Mint Press News, between 1999 and 2007, Klobuchar did not bring charges against more than two dozen officers who had killed citizens while on duty, including against Chauvin himself. At that time of that shooting, her state prosecuting role was coming to an end. She's campaigning for Senate, and she's not declining to talk about this or what her past was. But it's one of the women that probably are going to have to pull away from Biden, or he'll shove her away anyway. Another little interesting tidbit in the midst of this. This is almost, well, it is laughable, except for the tragedy that initiated it. The World Health Organization, as I'd point out earlier today in the monologue, says you don't need to wear a mask. If you're healthy, you have no symptoms, no fever, you don't need to wear a mask. If you're taking care of someone infected, yes, then you should wear a mask. But a public health specialist for the World Health Organization says if you do not have any respiratory symptoms, such as fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a mask. And they went on to say, basically, the masks are not necessarily that going to be that good anyway, saying that masks can give you a false feeling of protection. This is after everyone's insisted we have to wear a mask, mocking Trump because he doesn't. Governor Cuomo holding a big conference the other day saying you got to wear a mask. Entertainer Chris Rock joined him saying, yes, wear a mask. And this, then you have this offspring of that story and the reason why I spent some time on it just now. The Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, Democrat, is requesting protesters, please continue to practice social distancing and wear masks. They are protesting. They're not maintaining 6 feet difference. Some have masks, some don't. They're looting, burning, causing havoc, and some have masks and some don't. And in some cases, they're wearing the mask not because of the virus, but because they're trying to conceal their identity. They know all this videotape from these stores and whatever they're burning and looting will be pulled up by police, and there will be charges coming in the future. Not now. So many of them are more than glad to wear a mask, not to protect themselves from the virus, but to protect themselves from additional or future prosecution. But I find it just stupid that the mayor issues a statement. Protesters, we encourage everyone to exercise caution while participating in demonstrations, including wearing masks and physical distancing as much as possible. I have yet to see any left mainstream media call that out for how stupid and silly it sounds. Now, that's just a small sidebar of this whole thing. I would not want it to detract from the most critical thing, and that is the death of George Floyd in the custody of police officers and how it went down. That is the crucial issue. But I'll repeat again. There's no validation, no acceptance of looting, rioting, and arson. In the next hour, we're going to spend more time on this. In fact, I'm dropping our normal news and commentary to begin the next hour. We got a lot of material here still to cover out of Minneapolis. And so far, no arrest, no charges. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.